Tämä on Radio Fiskars. Meillä on vieraanamme Yhdysvaltain Suomen suurlähettiläs Charles C. Adams Jr. We have today with us the United States Ambassador to Finland, Mr. Charles C. Adams Jr. Mr. Ambassador, welcome to Radio Fiskars. It's great to have you as our guest.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here.
You arrived in Finland last September. That's nearly a year ago now. What are your impressions of working and living in Finland so far?
Well, actually, it was the 4th of August last year that we arrived. So it's been a little over 9 months. And I have to say that every single day since we've been here has been a wonderful adventure.
I'm glad to hear
including that. Today with our visit to this marvelous village.
How has your family settled in?
Very well, very well. I'm here with my wife, Vera, and our 14-year-old daughter, Maya, who initially was upset at the idea of having to move away from where we had been living for all of her life to come to Finland. But within a matter of days, she had decided that this was a fantastic place. She's been very, very happy and has done very well in her school in Helsinki. And so it's been just good news all the way.
How much did you know about Finland beforehand?
Actually, I think I can say that I knew a good deal about Finland. I actually had traveled to Finland years and years ago. And it just so happened that I had a lot of spare time before coming, waiting to be confirmed by the United States Senate. And I made a good use of that time to read almost anything I could find about Finland and read Finnish literature and read about Finnish history. So I have had a keen interest in the subject, which I've continued to explore during my time here.
As we are now talking here in Fiskars Village, to which Fiskars Corporation owes its name, could you tell us more about the Fiskars brand and its visibility in the U.S.?
Well, I can tell you, because I've just learned this, that the United States accounts for 40% of the sales volume of Fiskars Corporation, which is to say 40% of 1.2 billion euros. So obviously, Fiskars in the United States has a huge market and a huge following. The Fiskars brand was known to me, as it's known to all Americans, for a long, long time. But I have to say that I had no idea either as to the historical origins of the company and of the name, or of the extent of its global activities today.
You were just presented with the Fiskars axe. What are you going to do with it?
I've been thinking about that, actually, in the last few minutes. I am a rather keen enthusiast of fireplaces and of home fires, and therefore we always are well stocked in firewood, and probably I can practice a little bit on firewood to begin with. Or, like George Washington, I can chop down a cherry tree.
So, the Nordic leaders, Finnish President Sauli Niinistö among them, were recently invited to the United States, where they met U.S. President Barack Obama in the White House. The visit was apparently a successful one, and it corroborated relations between the United States and the Nordic countries. What was the most important achievement from the U.S. point of view as regards relations between the United States and Finland? Could you elaborate a little?
Sure. I actually was there during the visit for the Nordic Summit and for the quite magical state dinner in the White House. From the point of view of the U.S., it was very important that on the occasion of this Nordic summit, there be the opportunity for a one-on-one bilateral meeting and conversation between President Niinistö and President Obama. And that indeed occurred. It was the first presidential level meeting between the two countries since the year 2002. And so it was that much more significant that this occurred during the course of the Nordic Summit. And on the American side, we were absolutely delighted with the fact of the meeting and with the tenor and texture of the conversation between the two leaders.
Next spring, the United States will hand the Arctic Council chairmanship to Finland. However, there seems to be some contradiction between Finland's vision on economic development in the Arctic area and efforts to protect the vulnerable environment. What would be the U.S. advice to Finland?
Well, we've been very pleased with the cooperation between the United States and Finland in the preparation for the transition of this important chairmanship, because Finland and the U.S. and other members of the eight-nation Arctic Council share actually a common vision. And we fully expect that Finland will, in the course of its own chairmanship, continue and further and enhance many of the priorities which have been aspects of the American chairmanship, one of which, of course, concerns climate change and global warming and the mitigation of the adverse effects on the very delicate Arctic environment. And this is something of which Finland, in its chairmanship, is also going to be very much aware.
But would you put some brakes on Finland's kind of ideas about this economical development?
The United States has no objection at all to economic development in the Arctic regions, provided that this is done in a manner which is consistent with the preservation of the pristine nature of the environment and the protection of what is a very, very fragile region of the planet. And I think that in this respect, too, we have a common vision with Finland.
Yeah, not an easy thing to do. During his visit to the United States, Finnish President Niinistö put forward an idea that Finland could host an Arctic summit to which U.S. and Russian presidents would be invited. Would the United States support Finland's proposal?
I'm not sure that this proposal has actually been put forward in any formal sense. If it were to be put forward in the course of Finland's chairmanship, certainly it would be considered by the United States and by the other members of the Arctic Council with the seriousness that it would deserve. I don't think that there's been any, so far, any indication of a calendar or of a program, so it remains at this point something of an abstract idea. But there have been considerations earlier of a meeting of that significance and at that level. And so we will see in the coming couple of years, beginning with April of 2017 and the assumption by Finland of its chairmanship of the Arctic Council.
U.S. military units have recently participated in several military training activities in Finland. Just in less than 2 weeks' time, Finland will host a part of NATO-led annual BALTOPS 2016 military exercise in Hanko, not far from here. How would you assess Finland's role in these activities as a part of a bigger picture?
Well, I can speak to this on the basis of personal experience in very recent weeks, because with some colleagues from our embassy in Helsinki, we had the opportunity to fly in a U.S. Air Force KC-135 Stratotanker at 7,000 meters over Kuopio, actually just at the beginning of last week, as part of the joint exercise of the U.S. Air Force F-15s with some F-18 Hornets of the Finnish Air Force. And it was extremely impressive. one of the U.S. pilots of the F-15s, a 20-year veteran of the Air Force, said that, in his opinion, the Finnish pilots of the F-18s were among the very best international pilots that he'd ever seen. And so we took that as serious and well-informed point of view from somebody who knew these things very well indeed and were very much impressed. It was a terrific exercise. And we think that these are really significant opportunities for the furtherance of what is a very, very close military-to-military relationship between the United States and Finland.
Thank you very much for leading me to the next question. Finland plans to replace the aging Hornet fighter jets by 2030. Besides three European manufacturers, there are also two US manufacturers under consideration. However, the US-made jets, the Super Hornet and the F-35, are the most expensive ones, not just to buy, but also to operate. Why should Finland choose a US-made fighter jet?
This is a competition which is going forward on the basis of, I think, a very serious inquiry by the Finnish Air Force and by the Finnish government into its own requirements, into the mission which it wishes for its Air Force to undertake, and the performance capabilities of the respective five entrants, of which, as you say, two are indeed of American manufacture, the F-18 Super Hornet and the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter. The one thing that I've been most impressed with is the manner in which the relevant Finnish authorities have been proceeding, carefully, diligently, and objectively. And it'll be a while before the result of this procurement process comes to be known. We're very confident that Finland will make the right choice for its purposes and for the mission which it wishes for its Air Force to undertake.
In your view, how would Finland benefit from the fighter jet purchase from the US in terms of mutual trade deals, for example?
Well, you're anticipating that this would in fact be a purchase from the US.
Well, naturally, we don't know, but just, you know, what will we get from it?
We're naturally hopeful that the American entrants in this competition will be given every due consideration. As a general proposition, though, an important part of the mission of our embassy is to do everything we can to promote and to enhance the bilateral trade and investment relationship between Finland and the United States, which is to say the promotion of Finnish exports to the American market. The U.S. is currently the third biggest export market for Finland, and American exports to Finland. The U.S. is currently the sixth biggest supplier of Finland. Equally important are reciprocal direct investments, which have been increasing at quite an important pace, and we are going to continue to do everything we can to promote that. There are several sectors of Finnish industry which lend themselves, we think, very well to expanded export opportunities in the U.S. And to name just a few of them, these would include icebreaker technology in the design and development and operation of icebreakers, renewable biofuels in the operation of municipal bus fleets, for example, or ultimately in the powering of ships on the high seas, biotech. Finland has very, very advanced research and development in these sectors. ICT, the possibilities are enormous. And we fully expect that the level of Finnish exports to the United States is going to increase actually quite dramatically in the coming years, particularly once we have succeeded in putting into effect between the US and the European Union the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, otherwise known as TTIP.
Yes. Well, I had another question, but now as you are leading me to this question, I will ask it for first. The European Union and the United States are currently trying to come to an agreement about, as you said, the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, the so-called TTIP. According to some reports, the United States is trying to push through some terms which would weaken environmental and consumer protection and also weaken hazardous chemicals and emission standards. How would you comment these reports?
These reports are based, I fear, on some misunderstandings, actually. If not indeed misinformation, because this is really not a part of the negotiation at all. As in any trade agreement, there are sectors of industrial and commercial activity which are of particular importance to one or the other of the negotiating parties. Equally important are the discussions within, internally, the negotiating partners as to tariff reductions and the elimination of non-tariff barriers in order to arrive at a consensus. And in fact, it would be difficult to say that today the consensus within the European Union has yet to be perfected. We're very hopeful that these negotiations are going to go forward on an accelerated basis. There is a commitment on the part of both the European Union and the United States to do everything possible to try to get TTIP implemented, passed and implemented, before the end of President Obama's term in office, which is to say before January of 2017. And we're cautiously optimistic that this goal can be achieved.
So let's speak a little bit about Russia, Finland's next door neighbor. Russia has been recently stirring up political and military tensions in Europe and continues to do so. Georgia, Ukraine, Crimea are chilling examples, not to mention recent aggressive maneuvers by Russian jets towards US military ships in the Baltic Sea. We Finns often like to think ourselves as some kinds of mediators between Russia and the West. What is your assessment of Finland's role in pacifying the Russian bear?
I'm not sure mediator is the appropriate term, since there's no doubt about the fact that Finland is a member of the European Union. Finland is an enhanced opportunity partner of NATO. There's no question, I think, as to where the hearts and minds of Finns are situated. The United States has fully appreciated the solidarity of Finland in the implementation of the sanctions regime as an encouragement to the correction of Russian misbehavior of recent years. And Finland has indeed signaled its continuing strong commitment. It is true, however, that Finland has now close to 100 years of history of very proximate cohabitation with Russia, which has included, as we all know, several years of quite bitter warfare. And Finland has, over the decades, had experience in the management of its own interests in achieving a sensible and pragmatic way of dealing with its large neighbor to the east. And this experience of Finland and the opportunity of Finland to engage in continuing dialogue, as it has done and as it must with its neighbor, is something which I think can be valuable to all of Finland's partners in the EU and in its bilateral relationship also with the United States.
So there seems to be no interview where this topic would not emerge in one way or another. If Finland would apply NATO membership tomorrow, would the United States support Finland's membership without hesitation?
Well, the first thing I have to say is that the question of membership or not in NATO is something that is 100% within the exclusive province of the Finnish government, of the Finnish parliament, and of the Finnish people. And the United States has respected and will respect whatever that determination ultimately turns out to be. The United States has made it clear that the door is open to Finnish membership in NATO, should this be the choice of the Finnish people and of the Finnish government, as it would to a parallel application by Sweden, should that occur as well. Finland has resources and has assets and has experience that are highly valued by the United States in the existing partnership and would be highly valued by NATO as well. But again, this is a discussion and a debate and a consideration which has been ongoing within Finland for some time and very likely will continue to go forward until ultimately a dispositive resolution is reached. And we in the United States stand ready to provide information, of course, but do not propose to advise or encourage or direct in any manner.
But the United States would say, yes, you are welcome.
NATO has made it clear that the door is open.
Yeah. A few words about the forthcoming U.S. presidential elections. In your view, what would be the imminent impact on the United States if Donald Trump won the presidential election?
You are as good a forecaster as I on that subject. I'm unable to express a view, really, other than to say that the American election, the exercise of this democratic process by the American people, naturally has attracted a great deal of interest and attention from around the world. In this election cycle, perhaps more than in many, although I have to say that in 2008, with the first election of President Obama, this was something that riveted the attention of the world for obvious reasons. In this cycle, there has been considerable attention paid to aspects of the process which could be characterized, I suppose, in the nature of a spectacle, if you will. But the American people will make what we all assume and hope to be an informed and intelligent choice in November. And we will all have an opportunity to see what the outcome of that will be and what its implications will be for the relationship of the U.S. with the rest of the world.
So I let you off the hook now.
Thank you.
Your predecessor, former U.S. Ambassador Bruce Orrick, was an unusually outspoken diplomat and often kicked us Finns in the backside, and still does, and probably for a cause. This is one of his comments: start running instead of skiing. What kinds of objectives and ambassadorial profile have you set for yourself during your term as the U.S. Ambassador to Finland?
Well, for my own purposes, I have several objectives. The first is to listen and learn as much as I possibly can about Finland and about the Finnish people and about the sense of Finland's place in Europe and in the world. And this I have been doing. And today's visit to Fiskars is an important illustration of this. I don't think that I have, at this point, any advice to give, really, because I'm not certain that that is really what is the most useful thing that I can be doing. What I can be doing is to look at all ways in which the bilateral relationship between Finland and the United States can be enhanced. It is already close. It has become closer still in recent years. And the recent visit of President Niinistö to Washington and his meeting with President Obama, I think, symbolizes very appropriately the manner in which that proximity is now translating into enhanced mutual understanding and a resolution to go forward in partnership. And that is a very, very satisfying context for me in the furtherance of my mission in Finland.
Radio Fiskars has had the pleasure of talking to the U.S. ambassador to Finland, Mr. Charles C. Adams, Jr. Mr. Adams, thank you for joining us.
Well, it is I who thank you for having me.
And we wish you a successful tour of duty and that you and your family have an enjoyable stay in Finland.
Kiitos. You're very kind. Thank you very much.